Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to be here practicing.
It's lovely. It's lovely. Thank you so much for being here with all of us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. It brings me right here every time.
I know. It's the best part of it, isn't it? Well, and the people we get to talk to, of course. Let's not forget that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, of course. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an announcement here.
All right.
Meditation is one of the most effective ways to train the attention to be with present moment experience. Join Sangha for our virtual meditation groups, conference call meditation sessions that take place 7 days a week. And for more information about this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And I would encourage folks to do that. And a conversation on one topic, please, and about 5 minutes is great.
Is perfect. Thank you, sir.
Perfect. My pleasure. All right, here we go.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is April in North Dakota.
Hey, April.
Hi, so this is what I am seeing. This morning, I set aside time to meditate, exercise, and participate in the year-long retreat, and then go to work. And I got talked into just going to work, and I didn't meditate or work out. But then when I was at work, I said, well, you know, I can still participate in the morning show. So I told everyone I'm going to go run some errands, went out in my vehicle, and participated in the morning show. But what I'm seeing is the beatings when I don't do everything perfect are, and they've been going all day. And I know you've said that spiritual practice doesn't start until the beatings stop. So how do I get the beatings to stop?
Okay. So let me ask you this, April. How did you get talked out of doing what you wanted to do?
Oh, it said, you've got too much to do at work.
And so you better go to work and do that.
Yes.
And then when you go to work and do that, it says, well, you didn't do what you said you were going to do.
Yes.
You didn't exercise. You didn't. And so that's it. That's it right there. So here's a little torture system you can start with it, okay? So tomorrow morning, say, if it's, you know, wherever it starts that scam, okay? But let's just go with today. So today you wake up and you have your little plan, which I imagine it helped you lay out, right? So this is what you need to do, and then this is what you need to do. So when it's all laid out, what you say is, okay, voices, now what you said to me is, this is what I need to do. Yeah? And so you write it down, the time, signed, the ego voices. Okay? Then it talks you out of it. Right? So
yes.
So then you write down, okay, at, you know, whatever it is, 10:15 a.m., what you're saying is that I shouldn't do those things. I should instead go to work. I get that? Okay, 10:15, ego voices say I should go to work. So then, when they come at you for what you didn't do, you've got it right there in black and white.
I like that. I like that, actually. Yeah? Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Yeah, because that's the part that never happens. We get a beating, and that system that is doing all of it gets off scot-free.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So hold
I like
them to
that.
It. Make a contract, and Okay, and then you'll let me know, won't you?
Yes, I will. That sounds fun, actually.
Good. Good. All right. All right. Thank you, April.
Thank you. Go happy.
All right. Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, April. And Sherry, I love that, having fun and torturing ego at the same time.
There's few things more fun. And with something like that, you know, it's not even hateful. If it were another person who was doing that to us, you know, at some point, hopefully we would have presence of mind to do the same thing. But you told me to do this right there. Right there, 10:15. You said do this. I did that. Now you're telling me you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's not even hateful.
Yeah.
It's just clear.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Just clear. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hey. Oh, I've got one bar, so I'm hoping I'm one bar service.
You're at a bar?
Yeah, no. I've got one. I'm looking at my phone going, oh, my gosh, because this is sometimes what it looks like before it drops the call, but I'll call back in if it does it.
All right. Well, stand still.
Okay, I am. I'm just sitting here. And anyway, I called in mostly to just connect. And and then, you know, I just love being with you all. And then, and I think where, you know, I'm going to go back and talk a little bit about the email class, because that blew my mind, which is probably a good thing.
A very good thing. These minds, they need to be blown open with some regularity. It's like cleaning out the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to air it out once in a while.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well, all kinds of things, but what really, I think it was the last assignment. I think it was. I need to go back and look at the email class, but the process map, where the whole process that I write down and make the process map, it's all an ego process. And it's superimposed on life.
Yeah, on the white space.
On the white space. And so I walk around and I think, you know, and I notice these conversations in the head, and I think, well, okay, I could process map that, even though it's nothing. It might just be, I'll call it mindless chatter that happens sometimes, just.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that's an ego process, because, and so then I just think, and I've seen this before, but not quite in this way. Any time that I'm in a conversation in my head, it's like that process map. It's just an ego process.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. And the very good part of that is that you're seeing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we assume, and it's really too bad, but we assume that it's something we're doing, or that we have some ability to affect. And what I project you're realizing is, actually, no. It's not something you're doing, and actually, you can't affect it, right? Because, again, that's why I like to compare it to, you know, there's a TV playing in the other room, and it's somebody else's TV. So there it is. You can hear it. You're aware of it. You know that it's happening, but it's not yours.
Yeah. And I know I've seen that. I mean, there's been many times in practice I've realized, you know, there's nothing in that conversation. They're just, you know, it's, but there was just something about the process map, see, having it described in that way, and then experiencing it that way, and You know, I don't know.
And then suddenly the lights come on.
Yeah.
And we see something that has been there. That's the hidden in plain sight, right? It's been there all along. And in fact, you've been aware of it all along.
Yeah.
Right? You've been listening to it, watching it, all this, but suddenly you see it in a different light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. I just saw it in a different light, and I think, and I've seen this before too, because, you know, when we say form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different than form. And so this is my version of that, is that all of that conversation is empty. All of what I'm writing down on that process map, it's all empty. It, mm-hmm. Because it really doesn't, there's nothing there really. It's just ego. I mean, it's just, which is not real.
Right, that's right. And what I project you're also seeing is we hold it in place by believing that there's something for us to do either with it or about it. That in some way it's ours.
Yeah.
Rather than it's just what's going on. In the same way, you know, you walk into a store and music's playing, or if we took all of that personally and took it on, we think it's about us and that we're making that happen and that we need to stop it, we'd say, oh, maybe you want to start seeing somebody, maybe have little meetings and talk over what's going on in your head, because that's delusional. But if it's all happening inside my head, then I think, well, that's me, and therefore I should be able to do something about it. No, because it's not.
No, it's not. And it's just, it's like vapor. You know, it vaporizes. It's just, I don't know, the whole thing. So anyway, so I'm enjoying having my mind blown, and I definitely get caught by it, but I'm just so aware when I'm caught, and
which translates into you're not actually caught. Because if you were actually caught, you wouldn't be aware of being caught.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can.
So again, it's one of those places where we get conned into believing something that just isn't true. So stuff was happening that you weren't consciously aware of. But again, it's like the neighbor is playing music and suddenly you become aware that you're hearing music.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or when you aren't even aware of music and then it turns off and you just go, oh, thank you. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was bugging me so much, but thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So that's just one thing. That's probably as much as I need to say, but I just absolutely love the email class and I want to work with it for a long time because I just saw so much in that for me, and it was very compassionate. And anyway, just very, very grateful and appreciate that.
Well, and you know, we get to continue because in February we're going to have another email class. So, So a very different kind, but it will be an opportunity to continue to look at something like that at a deeper level.
Oh boy.
So that's
great.
That's good, huh?
Yeah.
Are we done with this? Are we?
Yeah.
This good?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I want to tell you something before you go, because I know how much you'll appreciate it. So we were given some baby trees, little tiny trees. They were growing in a septic field, and they couldn't live there because they were going to get to be big trees and then mess up the septic field.
Oh yeah.
So we went over and we thought we were going to get like 30 or 30 or 40 of them. We wound up with over 100 of them. And
oh,
so
my gosh.
They've been planted all along the road, on the orchard side, all along the road, and then they turn the corner, and they go down the side of the property. I'm working on a blog right now, and there are pictures of what we've been doing, which is making little houses, little dresses, little tiny dresses. You know, we made the big ones for the bigger trees.
Yeah.
Now we're making little tiny dresses for these little tiny trees.
Oh.
And so I just thought you would enjoy
it. Oh, that's
that.
Very exciting. I can see the whole thing. How big are these little trees? Are they like
the tallest is probably a foot. Most of them are between 4 and 6 inches tall.
Okay. Well, now I can I can envision the little baby dresses. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what fun.
So, by the time you get here next, though, they'll have some oomph to them.
Yeah.
They'll be on their way. So
yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Gesho.
Gesho.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie in Newark, Delaware.
Hey, Jamie.
I'm glad to be on the show. Oh, well, some of the things I've been noticing is that this concept of being the right practitioner or the right student can get in my mind as a and cause me to then judge myself in relation to that concept, whereas I really need to let that go and just be what I am.
That's right. Because, of course, what I'm going to say is, because you are not on yourself. What happens when we get into that kind of thing is we are open to those ego voices beating
exactly.
us up. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what we don't want to do. We do not want to give them, and not that we're often, regularly, we're regular people, right? And we do things that don't actually meet our own standard. Now, we can either learn from that or we can be open to the beatings. And what we want to do is learn from that and let the beatings go.
Right. And I'm still seeing the benefits of meditation and coming back and just being, trying to be with present and not focusing on the future or being anything other than what is.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's my latest thing that I've been on about is what we're doing is practicing being happy with everything exactly as it is.
Right.
Right? Yep. If there's any breath of you'll be happy after or as soon as or when we're in trouble.
Yeah, unconditional love, the way it made sense to me, is it is an entity unto itself and it doesn't require any outside circumstances.
That's right.
I mean, unconditional love is, that's, it just is. Whereas, obviously, ego keeps wanting me to focus somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah, the conditional definitely wants to impose the conditions. and yet, once we realize that unconditional love is unconditional, so it doesn't matter whether I'm meeting these imposed standards, either social standards or ones that ego has taken up and aims directly at me. It doesn't matter where any of that's coming from. I don't need to attend to it because it's not unconditional love.
It seems like it's something I can come back to over and over again. No matter when ego tries to take me away, then I know the difference.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And in fact, there's that piece of, so you know what unconditional love is. You know what it feels like. you know what it's like to be there in it with it.
Right.
And then you get pulled away. The ego voices pull you away, and you realize, whoa, those are ego voices. And you're right back there in the unconditional love. So is it a problem that I get pulled off? Well, not really, because it's just so wonderful to get back to unconditional love.
It's just part of the process. And
exactly.
There doesn't seem to be any other path to get to unconditional love for me right now, but to keep returning to it. I guess it'd be nice to be there forever. But.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out someday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But for right now, being able to come back to it is plenty.
Yes, I'm grateful, very grateful that it's there to come back to. And it's a whole different way of looking at things.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And to realize that what you're coming back to is you, that you are that unconditional love, right? And the amazing part, it's one of those things that I think is from an earlier conversation, you know, that hidden in plain sight business, that when you come back to unconditional love, you come back to it in you, right? You know, you don't come back to it somewhere else. And increasingly, we realize that, oh, that is what I am. I leave that and I go get involved with the ego voices. But when I come back to me. That's what that unconditional love is.
Right. And I may see things in practice that will help me, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means that my practice is ongoing. I can still come back to unconditional love.
Absolutely.
I do those things out of love for me and benefits everybody.
That's exactly right. That's right. And so to realize that we actually live in a world without judgment, and that the judgment that we experience is superimposed. It's coming from that social conditioning, from ego. Right? It's coming from outside. Yeah,
I can see that. I don't think my cats are, you know, don't worry and criticize themselves about what's going to happen or what happened. They just live their lives.
That's right. And, you know, they don't even criticize you. Right?
No.
Even though you might be late with their dinner, they love you unconditionally.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate being able to get on the air. And,
it's great talking with you, Jamie.
Take care.
Great talking with you. You too.
Bye.
All right. Gotcha.
Thanks for joining us, Jamie. Sherry, that reminded me of something happened at work last Friday, and I communicated something to a colleague, and then the voices were on me this weekend about, you know, that was not right, it was inappropriate, and I thought, well, you know, Sherry always says, wait for, you know, life to give me information, not the voices, right?
Yeah.
On Monday I talked with her. She didn't say anything. Nothing came up about it. I was like, okay.
So. Yeah, good. If it didn't bother her, then I really can't worry about it bothering the ego voices.
Yes.
God, that is so important, Michael. If we could get that, how little of what those voices tell us ever materializes. You know, well, she thinks that, or, well, he's going to this or that, or they, you know, whatever it is. And does any of that materialize? No. And yet we go right on believing that they know something that we don't know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Until we don't.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we have another caller here.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. I'm calling to check back in.
Good.
Yeah, so I had some guidance a while ago, about my son and it being really
His
hard.
Father.
Well, and it just being really hard to feel compassion. And anyhow, a few days after that guidance, I went to my mother for 10 days. And in that interim, my son moved out. So there's been some big changes.
And how is that? How does that seem to be for him? How is that for you?
I felt a lot more calm. I'm not having the judging voice. You know, I'm back now in the same, you know, in the house with my husband, and things seem to be more, a lot more harmonious. I guess I feel like he took a stand, and to a certain degree, I took a stand, because that's what you were talking about last time. And, yeah, you know, it's there's definitely feeling relief, because it was very, very oppressive for me being in that situation. And I think it was very oppressive for him. That's my projection.
Right. Well, it doesn't, that kind of thing usually doesn't just go in one direction. Right. Yeah. When somebody's struggling in a relationship, the other person is probably struggling too.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been, you know, having these really, you know, I think what I was struggling with so much when I talked to you last time was these really judgmental conversations in my head that just wouldn't stop. And I've been feeling, you know, now that he's not living with us, then I've had some space, which I think I and him both need. You know, that those aren't as bad. You know, conditioning, of course, is coming up with other stuff, like just feeling like, well, he's not being very communicative. He did come home a week after he moved out for to spend the night to get some more stuff. And we had a nice conversation. But I feel like I don't feel like reaching out like is what he wants right now.
He's a grown up.
I feel like he needs his space. And so I guess what conditioning's basically trying to get me suffering over is the holiday coming up. There's all these expectations from friends and family members, like, oh, well, is he going to be here? You know, all these questions. I don't know, you know.
That's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any idea. You could ask him. Not you, them.
Yeah, that's the frustrating thing. You know, I keep trying to say, you know, ask him, and it's all, you know, anyway, it just frustrates me, and then I internalize the conversation because, you know, I guess ego internalizes it and can use it to basically flog me, like, if he's not there, then that I have to suffer. If he is there, then I'll probably be suffering over something else, and so that's what I'm seeing right now.
Yes, and so hopefully what you can really see out of all of this is that whatever is going on or whatever is not going on, the ego voices are going to try to make suffering out of it.
Yeah.
So it's really true. When we talk about ending the conversation in conditioned mind, that's what we're talking about. Because what, and of course, you're not a child, so you've seen this go on for, there's always something. Whatever, there's something in the slot. It's like how to cause her to suffer is the slot. And ego's deal is just to keep something in there constantly. So what we're meant to believe is, okay, when this thing with this grown child is over, when that's resolved, then I can relax. then there'll be some peace and quiet. Then I can enjoy life. And so that gets pulled out of the slot. Okay, he's moved out, and then the next thing just drops in.
Yep, absolutely.
And when you're through suffering over that, you suffered long enough, that'll be pulled out, and the next thing will be dropped in. And so our job is to stop suffering. Because the stuff is never going to stop being dropped in.
Yeah.
It just won't. That's just the name of the game.
You know, and I can see ego coming in and trying to make everything really real, like taking external people's worries about him. Oh, how is he doing all by himself in the city? And, you know, trying to get me to worry as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, trying to use really real content to make me suffer. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah. And the answer is, I don't know. You know, yeah. I'm sure you left home a good while ago.
Yes.
But just to go back to that time in your life when you left home, and the last thing that you wanted was your mother hovering over you, asking you how you're doing and worrying about you and relatives worrying about you. And, yeah,
I can only guess. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a nice little note once in a while, you know, a little text message that says, thinking about you, love you. Okay, good. He doesn't even have to text back.
Right.
Right? And aside from that, I don't know. I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure if he needs something, he'll tell us.
Yeah. And you know, it's just, you're so absolutely on it. You know, like today, if it wasn't suffering over what other people are thinking about him or what I'm thinking about, then it's, oh, the days are so short. It's so dreary. You know, there's always something.
Yes, always something. And, yeah. Then there's work. You know, there's always work.
Yeah.
The list is endless. So perhaps that image of things just, you know, the gnarled little ego hand dropping in the suffering du jour, or mm-hmm. I guess it would be a minute by minute, but that's what you're meant to focus on. That's the conversation to engage in. And our job is simply to realize we don't have to do that. It is not a requirement. We don't need to give attention to that.
And can you give me, I'm sure, you know, well, anyway, could you just give me a quick guidance of the holiday? Because I think a lot of people probably are in, I just like, how do I do it, you know, so I don't suffer as much, like with relatives?
Well, and Andrea, I am the wrong person to ask.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. I haven't done the holidays in decades. I've trained my family. I don't give gifts. I don't want gifts. Uh-huh. It's just another day. I think what it does to people is cruel and hideous. Uh-huh. You know, we'd all be better off if it were done away with.
Yeah.
And the planet suffers. You know, billions of trees are killed. Billions of innocent animals are killed. A bunch of crap is purchased. People go into debt.
Well, you know,
so
what?
I'm not a good one to ask.
Well, I think I just thought of it, which is just to be present. That's the best I can.
That's it exactly. And if your commitment is not to suffer.
Yes.
Yeah. So then, when the suffering conversations start, that's what you could give yourself and everyone else. In this holiday season, don't suffer.
Yeah. Well, I just needed to out all of that. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. Anytime.
Gosho. Deep gosho. Go happy.
All right. Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. That was fabulous, Sherry. And we are going to go to Good News Update and hear what's happening.
All right. Excellent plan. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Thank you. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sequoia, who is here to speak with us about the BridgeWalk menu item, Offer Your Help. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So I know you found a really fun way to engage with that one.
I did. I want to share a little bit before I launch into it, if it's okay, just a little bit of the process around that.
Absolutely.
The invitation went out to participate as a steward for the Africa Fundraising Project.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I have been to Africa, I have met the people in Cantalomba who are amazing, wonderful. They just felt like family to me. When that invitation went out, I went right to this identification, like, you know, no, I don't want to be responsible for any fundraising for, you know, anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Then this little voice dropped in because Sherry had spoken a little bit earlier about, finding ways to contribute to our community till the end of our lives. This whole concept of retiring and living off savings is, you know. So this little voice dropped in and it was like, Sequoia, if you are going to confront this, what better support could you have than this project?
Wow.
And I just knew I had to push the button and say yes.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's just so many things in it, right? Because you're hearing that still small voice that's there, that's only available to us. We guess it's that guidance is there for us all the time, but we're not here for it. And so you really were there to hear it. And that allowed you to press the button, say yes, and get to have the experience.
I guess it doesn't matter. You know, I think I was coming from a very, thinking about how this was going to benefit my life rather than how this is going to benefit folks in Cantalumba.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I just knew that I wanted to participate. So I did not know what to do. But I've also had enough experience of just relaxing and let life inform. I don't have to go up into conditioned mind to figure this out.
Right. So calling on that experience of, well, I don't have to know. You know, and that's the whole thing. I mean, not saying yes without knowing is kind of the fun of it, right? Instead of what we're conditioned to do, which is like, okay, let me see. Before I say yes, I got to think up something that I can do. No.
Mm-hmm.
We say yes, and then we relax into, all right, life, I'm ready.
It's true. It just, you know, it just highlights the mystery of life and to just see, I know I remember Sherry saying too in the past, life has way better things available to us than we can ever imagine. And I knew that to be true because my imagination can be pretty small.
I's imagination is very
small. Yeah, I's imagination.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the line, away, it just dropped in that that I might be able to mend clothing for people. In exchange for a donation to the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And it just lit up something in me because I could see how this was a win on so many levels. I just felt completely excited at the prospect of doing something that was going to be a kindness for the earth and maybe keep some things out of the landfill, and restoring things that people may love and give them an opportunity to wear it longer, and to support Cantalumba. And I was very fired up.
I mean, it is so, it really reminds me of what Sherry was just saying, you know, pointing at the holidays, one of the great harms of the holidays, because there is so much in that, right? Here's this thing that I'm so conditioned to just toss it aside, but the love and care that there is in that. And instead of tossing it aside, I actually add more love to it by giving it that attention and mending it. And so many people either don't have that skill, or they don't have the time to do it, or whatever it is. And so how perfect for you to offer your help, which is what it is, the menu item on the menu, offer your help in exchange for folks donating to the project.
Yes. And another thing I found is that people don't even think of this as a possibility.
Oh, yes.
It's not in their realm of awareness that you can actually mend something and wear it for a longer period of time. So then I had to confront the thing of, like, how do I get myself out there and creating business cards and all of that. All of those hurdles seemed insurmountable in the mind. But when I actually just turned the attention to it, it was amazing how quickly those obstacles were overcome.
Wow. So you created business cards to let people know about this?
Yes. And the name dropped in to call it Love Men's. And created some business cards that I think are pretty awesome, actually.
You know it.
And so then so many fun things. I mean, where I work, my boss just got so excited about it, and he just put out an email to everybody at work to let them know about this. And then so many fun things happened. I put up a flyer. Somebody responded to the flyer who he had a pair of pants that were too long and he needed them shortened. And so we got that all cleared up, and I said, well, this is where I live. And he said, oh, I'm your next-door neighbor.
Oh, my God.
And this
person,
so
you're really creating community with this person.
I am really. This person lives right next door to me, and I just had no idea. And he was so excited that he found someone to shorten his pants and also that he could contribute. He just thought, it was just the best thing.
Oh, that's so wonderful, Sequoia. I mean, truly. And it really is, as you said at one point, it's just that place where in the mind, these are all problems, because nothing's happening in the mind, right? But as soon as you actually start taking the steps there, it all starts to unfold. And again, as you said before that, life has so much more in store for us than we could ever imagine for ourselves. So we say that initial yes, we relax into it, we let it happen, and it just, all of those things unfold.
All of those things unfold. And, I don't know whether this is, it's just interesting that as I've started to do this and started to, I just ask people to donate what they can for many reasons. I want them to get their clothes mended. I want to contribute to Cantalumba. And then interestingly enough, it seems like money has just started to flow to me from other places other than the donation, life just feels like it's very supportive of this person and this project.
Well, and as you said,
there are many, many beneficiaries, you know, 15,000 miles away or whatever it is, who are going to be, you know, taking all that and continuing with the transformation. So
right.
much gratitude to you, Skoya, for being with us today to talk about it, and, you know, to everyone who's, you know, participating in this way, in this being our practice, you know, as we talked about in the workshop on Sunday. It's really an extraordinary process.
It is an extraordinary process, and it's the best process.
It really is.
Thanks, Jen. Okay.
Thanks for joining us. All right, go happy.
Gotcha. Go happy.
And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Skoya. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber, and wow.
Yeah. Can I tell you my favorite part of that, and then you can tell me your favorite part of that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, to hear somebody so lit up. I don't know that it's possible to have that kind of lit up fun unless we're doing something that that involves more than us. You know, combination of giving and receiving is just it gets that dimmer switch and just starts cranking that light up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got the image as Corey was talking that she's the conduit, that this love just comes in her, you know, into her and then out through her and all around, and she's the center of all that wonderful activity.
Love mends. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And that experience of how excited other people are that they get to participate in something like that. You know, here's this chap, you know, he's got his pants that are too long. And it's hard to find somebody in this day and age to do that kind of thing. And so he's going to get his pants the right length, and he gets to be involved in this extraordinary project. And, I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, that takes us to that place of life is really good.
Yeah. Feel good moment there.
You feel good, yeah. A feel good all around. Beautiful.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in Massachusetts.
Hey, Jill.
Hey. I'm so lit up. I
contact high. Isn't that what they call it?
Absolutely.
In another world. Yeah.
Yeah. I have one. I mean, I have to say, I started out this call. I felt very muddy this week. Like I'm like in a funhouse mirror type situation, not in a good way. And where, you know, I could do a process map 1,000 long, and I don't know where it's coming from. It's everywhere, basically. It feels up. And so, you know, I've been listening to the year long this week, and I have to go back and listen to the recording because it's so hard to hear. Like, it sounds like everything's coming from underwater. And so, and when I got on this call, it dropped in like, okay, why don't you, and I've heard this as a practice, like just repeat the words that everyone's saying. Like, you don't actually have to understand. And so I've been sitting here repeating and slowly, you know, coming here, and then, boy, that conversation, I'm just like, across the Rubicon. I'm like, I am here, alive.
Yeah.
And I can't.
The mud has settled.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I thought of an idea as a fundraiser during that conversation, which I'm just thrilled about. And
you want to tell us about it, or are you going to bring it on us later?
Of course, I have a lot of Living Compassion books, Keep It Simple books I would never get rid of. I've carried them with me for 25 years, but I do have other books that feel like they could find other homes, and I had already had the thought a month ago or so of, yes, time to maybe, and yeah, I could, you know, go on Facebook Marketplace, offer them, and just put in a little card or something about the, you know, that the price of the book is a donation that you make, and here's how to do it, and go to the website, make a donation, and mm-hmm. that, you know, just mm-hmm. connect people with the book, with the project, with what was talked about, just this idea of, like, the giving and receiving is not up to me, this human, yeah. like, this yeah. this egoed human, it's up to this process. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. it's really set me on fire a little bit here, Sherry. I'm just so excited.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's wonderful. And, you know, Jill, the way you describe that is wonderful, right? So you know it's had you, right? Mm-hmm. The mud was swirling, and you're not used to feeling that way, right?
Yeah.
So it's there is, in fact, God help us all, something wrong here. I know that this is, you know, and instead of what we're meant to do, which is just fall over and go under, you just stayed with it. Okay, mm-hmm. it drops in. Well, I could just reflect every word that everybody says and mm-hmm. and the kindness and the compassion, and you don't have to understand it. Just mm-hmm. just be with it. Just be with it. And there's the breakthrough. That's mm-hmm. that's the way through. And mm-hmm. here you are, wide awake and alert and lit up and excited about life. And yeah.
It's astounding. Really, really. Yeah, just great. Just great. So yeah, although when you were saying that, I was remembering occasionally the word ha would come out of my mouth when I was reflecting back. So something was taking in what was being said, which was just
that's exactly right.
So fun experience to be reflecting
yeah, but
each word and then ha.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's really the magic in it, isn't it? That's where mm-hmm. we see this is not up to me. I just need to follow the directions.
Yeah, I think
right.
That's true.
And yeah. and then it'll all be taken care of. Mm. And you realize that the kindness of you don't have to understand it. That opens the door to just being there and participating. And then you realize, oh, I am understanding it. I'm here. I see it. I hear it. I get it.
Yeah.
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 And there's
just
the
joy. Just start. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take the first step.
Take the first step. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Let us know how it goes, huh?
Will do. Will do.
All right. Thanks, Jill.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And Jill, I cannot mute you. So if you could mute yourself or call back in, that'd be great.
Yep. Got it.
All right. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga in Charleston.
Hey, Helga.
Hey. So, you know, I was actually going to ask about something, but this conversation with Sequoia actually reminded me of a question that I had. You know, I saw that the recollection article, you know, with all mm-hmm. the various bridge walks.
Mm-hmm.
And I love all the images.
Yeah.
Of,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they're kind of small, but I looked at them and I think they're just so beautiful. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I don't know if they're like images, like a photo or some of it looked like some of them were on material. I just thought, they would make such a beautiful blanket.
Yes, yes.
You know,
I'm right,
I mean,
there.
You can take
yes.
you can take pictures and put them on, you know, they have these companies. I have one from that family. It's like where you can put them, they get
oh.
put on a blanket and of this really
what?
Soft material.
What a great idea. You know,
I would buy one. I would love to have one.
Well, here's the thing. Those, what Jen was doing to make that happen, those are actual T-shirts. And I think at this point, I hope to God we have at least one from every bridge walk that we've ever done. And mm-hmm. I was right there with you. I think I would love to have a quilt made out
made out of that.
But yeah. I don't want to cut the T-shirts up, right?
Yeah.
But what you're describing, yeah. you can have your T-shirts and wrap yeah. up in them.
Well, yeah. And yeah, I mean, somebody could take a picture.
Yeah.
What you do is you take a picture of all the different bridge walks, and then I can find out what company that was that they used, you know, and
yes.
then you can just make like a collage and put yeah. that on a blanket.
Yes, I love it. I love it because they're so bright and
yeah.
colorful.
They're beautiful.
And it's a marvelous message, and so much of it is, as we saw, includes what's going on at the time. You know, my favorite is we've got water.
Yeah.
You know, but there's something that indicates this is the year and blah blah blah. So that,
uh-huh.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So
you're gonna let us know.
I'll find out what company that was, and I guess I'll just shoot you guys an email.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and then
wonderful.
Yeah, and I'll
all right, now
we buy one.
Okay, good. Now we have 3 minutes. Was there anything else?
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know if I can put that in 3 minutes, but it was. I had a conversation with a very good friend of mine, who, and that's just the content, and then the question. Who has been in a relationship with an addict for quite a long time, and like 2 years ago, you know, he is a therapist himself. He went to a therapist, and the therapist basically said to him, I can't work with you because this is going to be ending very, very badly, and didn't want to work with him anymore. And so anyway, now it looks like, you know, this is where it's heading towards. And my question about that, or that came up for me in that conversation, is like, can we actually, or should we avoid our fate? Because maybe, you know, a person crashing into a wall is what's going to wake him up. But it's,
yeah,
it looks very, very bad.
Yeah. And so here's the question. Does he want to get out of the relationship? Or does he feel like he should?
It's my understanding that he's so entangled, that they're so
yeah.
entangled
yeah.
on all levels. And, you know, he's just basically, you know, maneuvered himself into a very, very, very difficult corner. Very difficult
mm-hmm.
corner. So,
yeah.
I don't even know if, you know, it's like, and now the guy found out, you know, his cancer came back, so he has to go through terrible radiation treatments, and he gave a lot of his money to this woman. I mean, it's just such a nightmare, and people could see it, you know, people could see it. Friends have left him because he didn't want to listen. Other people, you know, tried to talk to him, and what came up for me was, you know, I mean, you obviously can't save anybody from their fate, but even, I mean, should you, you know, it's like, is it
right,
fate?
Should you even try? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Helga, for me, it goes back to the conversation with the adult child, right? That if we would handle our own stuff and wait to be asked by someone if they need something from us, that would probably be a great kindness to everybody. So if I am just in a twist over what's going on with you, and I want you to be different with the idea that that'll get me out of my twist, I think first I untwist, and then I look to see if I really need to interfere with your life.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's not even that I think I can do anything, you know. I mean, I offered, you know,
right.
I offered my support, you know, if he needs me when he goes through cancer treatments. and all that. But, you know, I got never involved in any conversation about his relationship or what he should do about it, because, you know, it's like, I feel like it's not my job.
It doesn't
even matter. You know, it's like people make their own choices. It's just,
exactly.
You know, it's like just watching somebody, you know, driving their car into a wall.
Oh, yeah. It's awful.
You know,
it's awful. It's awful. And it's awful. And and so probably the very best we can do, again, is clean things up for ourselves so that we can be there with unconditional love and support, as the support is unconditional love, as somebody works out their own salvation as diligently as they can.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's painful. But, you know, Helga, the other thing, and it's true, we do need to wrap up, but the other thing, it's like the adult child. You know, when it's us, we do not want other people telling us what we should do or telling us what we're doing wrong or judging us or criticizing. It's not helpful. And so I think we can surmise that probably nobody else wants that either.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. All right.
All right.
Well, if you want to talk more, give me a call next week.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take care of yourself. Thank you.
Thanks.
And don't forget the blanket.
No, I won't. Definitely not. No.
All right. Thank you, Helga.
Good night.
Good night. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. And Sherry, it sounds like unconditional love is always the answer.
It does, doesn't it? We keep coming back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as much as ego would like self-improvement to be the answer, I do think it is unconditional love. I think you're right.
In
all
every
right.
Direction.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Starting here and moving out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thank you,
Michael.
Thank you, everyone. Go happy.
Good night. Go happy.